Well, unofficially, Mike, we have broke the record. 108 at 406.
Well, why is it 112 in this room here?
You have to ask our engineer about that.
I see. The air conditioner turned to heat.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you for listening if you are, and if you aren't, you should be, but that's okay.
Wake the neighbors.
Yeah, wake up the neighbor. Tell them, hey, listen to Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. So this is a show about gardens, about landscaping, about, you know, how to take care of stuff, how to keep it from dying, how to kill it. I mean, I can answer all those questions. And if you do have a question, please call 673-4464. Ask your question, and I'll give you an answer. We'll have a discussion. And hopefully I'll give you a solution. But 673-4464 is the number. So, oh gosh, it's great. I love the heat. Yeah, like I love poison arrows. But as we break into extreme heat, make sure to water your yard. You know, I know that I always harp on overwatering, but in this case of relentless heat, those new flowers dry very quickly. Plants that have been in the ground for 2 years are not critical, but they could use some water anyway. But any plants that you planted this spring, they're going to need some extra water because that ground is so dry, so hot, and I'm in this time of year, you got excellent drainage because everything just sucks up the water. Just go ahead and give it. But you know, kind of interesting, I planted some city street trees here three months ago in front of the Roseburg Mission. And the director,
they're still there?
Yeah, they're still there. I was surprised. But the director down there, Lynn Antis, says, hey, you need to look at these trees. So I went out and looked at them. And the ends were, you know, kind of browning up. The ends of the leaves were browning up and getting crispy. And I said the magic question, how often are these watered? Oh, we water them twice a week with a big bucket of water. Mm. I says, well, quit. That's what's happening here. They're overwatered. And to a person who is not really familiar with how things work and root systems, et cetera, they think that just because it's hot and dry, the tree or the shrub or the lawn or whatever does need extra water. I mean, double the normal amount. Well, that's not true, especially in a sidewalk situation where the drainage, you know, is not what you call excellent, but we put in good soil so it would drain, but those trees that where the roots are probably a little too wet. So, you know, just if you find that in your yard, hey, cut back on it, let it go. But anyway, this heat wave, of course, is just I hate it. I mean, you know, it belongs in Death Valley. It doesn't belong in Douglas County.
Or maybe even Texas.
Well, not even Texas, but Death Valley for sure. But like I said, any plant that's been in the ground for 2 years, you know, they're not as critical, but any plants that you've planted this spring, they're going to need that extra water because, and I don't mean flooded, I mean just a little bit extra. And, you know, look for wilting leaves as a sign for water. Now, wilting leaves are droopy. They kind of hang down and they droop. There's no brown edges to the leaves or anything like that. They're just like tired and they're just kind of hanging on, you know. Well, when you see that, that needs a little extra water. And within a day or so, those leaves will have recuperated and be standing out like they're supposed to be. And like I say, the opposite of that is when the leaves are turning brown on the edges and getting curled and crispy. That's too much water. And I've only said that 300,000 times since I started this show, but it seems like, you know, we as people think, oh my gosh, we need some water on that dude. It's not making it. Well, you got to understand how those root systems work. So. But vegetable plants now, is on the other hand, they have a very shallow root system, and I have a vegetable garden, and they're going to need water. We do water it every day, but it's excellent soil. It drains quickly, and they're doing good, and we're getting way too many tomatoes every stinking day. And then I have to eat
them. You didn't bring one in for me.
Oh, I could bring you a basket for crying out.
I love homegrown.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. I got to bring Oh, gosh, tomatoes for my buddy Dale here.
Well, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, don't mention it. It'll be $14.95.
Plus tax.
No taxes.
No, oh, yeah, okay.
This is Oregon. We don't do tax, right?
Yet.
Yeah, not. But vegetable plants, like I say, they're shallow rooted. They're near the surface, and they do need a little extra water on these hot days. And then also the potted plants, like you've got some pots on your porch or near your foundation or on your deck or something like that. They'll dry out quickly because they're in a container, and that sun is not only beating on the plant, but it's also heating up the container. So consequently, the water dissipates very quickly. It evaporates and the roots heat up, so they may need a little bit more water. But again, don't drown them, don't soak them, just keep them damp, and they're going to be they're going to be good. So shoot them a little water and you're okay. Now I have my bonsai collection at my home in the backyard, and of course those guys are in very small shallow pots. Like these pots, bonsai pots, are maybe 3 or 4 inches deep, and you've got a 2-foot bonsai in there, and they dry out very quickly, and they're in shade in the morning for a few hours, and they're in sun most of the afternoon, and then about 5 o'clock they get back into the shade again. But we water those every day simply because of the shallowness of the pot and the heat that it transmits through that. And so far we've been doing it right, I guess, because none of them have died because of heat exhaustion or heat, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're looking good. And there's one or two that a little iffy, but they're still alive and they still have good buds for next year and everything like that.
Cool.
But we do water those every evening, or sometimes my wife will do them in the morning before the sun hits them. But when you got a teeny pot like that, they dry out very quickly when it's 99 degrees, 106 or whatever.
108.
Is that what it is now?
Yeah. 108.
Boy, you're really boosting my morale here.
That's what I'm here for.
I know. But I'm also seeing many lawns drying with brown spots, and that's typical to a certain extent this time of year. But lawns should be soaked every other day, in the early morning or in the evening, and after the daylight is kind of gone, the sun is on the way down, it's below the horizon. Soak your lawn really good, and make sure continue to fertilize it through these months, because it's stressed. It needs some food, it needs some water, and it will pop back. Lawns are tough. I have my quote lawn in front of my house. I live out in the boondocks, so nobody has to see it but me. And it's green in the winter, it's green in the spring till about June, and then it starts to kind of lose the deep green and turns to kind of a weak green, and then about July it turns to a nice tan, and I only have to cut it one more time and it's good till October, because it doesn't grow, because I don't water it. It's simple. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it comes back every year.
Yeah,
every mm-hmm. year. As soon as if tomorrow it rained 2 or 3 inches in a week, that thing would be green again. That's how quickly they come back. So the root systems,
quick, Mary.
They shut down. The top's dead, but the roots are still good. And it's not a fancy lawn like I used to install in my landscaping jobs. This is what some seed that I bought from the Farm Bureau 30 years ago and threw it out there, and it worked. So that's all I care about. but it's something that you want to pay attention to, and make sure your lawn in front of your house and your backyard where your kids play or grandchildren play, it's not bone dry and hard as a rock like a piece of concrete.
Well, this might put a smile on your face.
What?
We have a 20% chance of showers after midnight through tomorrow morning.
Well, it's going to put a song in my heart if that happens, and I think I'll stay up late just to see.
But with haze, too. So there you go.
Haze, what's that mean?
That means smoke from the wildfires.
Yeah, well, boy, we had a lot of smoke Oh, day before yesterday.
Man alive.
I went home, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I'm thinking, wow, where's all that smoke coming from?
Yeah.
So, and it got deeper and thicker, and so I drove out of my canyon. I went down the road a bit, about a mile, and there's a gate and a BLM road that goes up to the top of the ridges, and my property goes up to the tops of those ridges. And so I drove up there to see if I saw any fires or anything like that. And the higher I got, I could see over to, I couldn't see to the Callahans because it was solid brown.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's where it was coming from, that direction. Mm. It was coming out of the north. And today wasn't bad when I left, but who knows what's going to happen.
Must have been the same day I went up north toward Albany, and it was really bad up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Along with the deaths from the farmers. I mean, you know, combination was great.
Yeah. But it, your best bet in this kind of heat, don't plant any new plants right now. I mean, don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your water. Wait a month, maybe two, and it starts to cool down. We get a few damp days, and the plants are starting to go into some sort of a dormancy, and they're not needing all the super care that you'd have to give them now. And it'd be a hit and miss thing if you got something at one of the box stores and took it home, dug a hole, stuck it in, and watered it. it might make it, it might not, but you know, 50-50 there. So don't waste your time, don't waste your money. Wait, you're okay. It won't be too late. But you know, if you're new to the landscape world with little plant knowledge, do your homework prior to buying shrubs or trees. In other words, get a book, ask questions, see what your neighbors are growing, talk to your neighbors about, hey, those shrubs look really good, what are they, how do you take care of them, and I've been admiring them for the last couple of years and you don't seem to do anything to them, and they'd be glad to share that information with you. but gaining that little bit of knowledge will give you a real hands up as far as long-lived plants in your yard. You know, that's, you know, if you don't know, ask, for crying out loud.
And if that doesn't work, when in doubt, rose bush.
Yeah, put a rose in. Nothing happens to those stinking things. But anyway, start small, you know, with some very hardy plants that grow well in our part of the country here. Do this and you can save a lot of time and money on what you buy. Just get some tough ones. If you've never done it before, ask questions at a local nursery. Hey, what's tough? What will survive? And a knowledgeable nursery person can lead you to the correct plants that will do well for you. But just don't jump the gun and think, oh, my gosh, I got to get them in next week, because it's going to be way too soon. And then if you want to be safe, consult with a nursery or a landscape professional as to which plants are hardy for your area. Tell them what type of soil you have. Tell them what kind of watering system you have, if you have one. Or if it's a hose, okay. If it's a sprinkler, okay. They need to know that. And ask questions also about what's going to be the ultimate size of these plants. I mean, will they grow 5 feet or 2 feet? That's all you need to know, those kinds of things. You know, and how do I prepare the soil? I know if you listen to me, I tell you how, but when you actually get down to the nitty-gritty and say, well, I gotta get this done, you want to know how to do proper soil prep. And then how do I fertilize? What do I fertilize with? How often do I fertilize? And watering. And will this plant grow in the sun or the shade? Or does it need all shade? Or does it matter for part shade? And these are some basic good questions that you get the correct answers, you will have success with your planting project. We got a break?
We do. What's our phone number, Mike?
Okay, 673-4464. Any questions? Fair game.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Well, here's some good news for you, Mike. It has dropped to 107 from 108.
Boy, I'm getting the chills already, I can tell.
Yeah, I see you got your sweater on over there.
Okay. But anyway, I'm talking about how to survive the heat with your plants and, you know, get some information, get some advice read a book, do something to educate yourself. And part of all this is when you are planting, and I've said this before and it bears repeating, too many plants too close together may look great for a year or two, maybe three, but in 5 years, they may be overgrown and require heavy pruning or removal. And if you're not familiar with how things grow, you might just panic and tear them all out or not know how to prune them and prune them incorrectly and set them back. But that's what professionals like myself are for. Call us, ask us, come take a look. And but this is a common mistake for first-time home landscapers. If they've never had a home that needed landscaping and they go to a nursery or a box store and they go, oh, those are good-looking plants. Well, normally the box store folks don't have a whole lot of information about how things grow or how large they grow or how to plant them, that kind of thing. So, you know, you say, well, gosh, I could use 10 plants in that one area. And so you buy 10 plants and there you plant them 2 feet apart or something. And if you read about that plant, you'd know that plant grew 5 feet wide and 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And consequently, you got twice as many plants as you needed in that one bed. So that's the education process that you have to go through. You know, they could require heavy pruning or like removing every other one. You know, just don't be anxious for filling up a space very quickly. So give new plants lots of space. And like I say, in a few years, you can always add more if you need, and you say, well, there's still some spaces there. And, you know, I could use, throw some color items in between if you think you got too much space. The color items, geraniums, petunias, marigolds, you know, something that's not going to overcrowd. And as the plants get larger, you may not need to put anything else in there. It's just, but like I say, if you need more plants, you can always add more. But too many, you're wasting your time and money, and plants ain't cheap anymore. And this is especially true when planting trees. You got a brand new home that's up in some nice subdivision, and there's not a tree in sight. And it's 105 or 108 or whatever. And you're saying, gee whiz, it'd be nice to have some shade. You know? Your first inclination is, I'll get 10 trees out front and that'll shade me. Wrong, don't do it.
No.
Oh, gosh. But the trees, you have to approach that in the same way. Know what that tree will do. Know what that tree is going to grow to. Ask the questions. Look it up on your internet thingy or whatever you've got, a plant book, whatever, and see what the ultimate size is going to be. And let that be your guideline for if you haven't plant more than one, say, for instance. You get a fast-growing maple, for instance, and you have an average front yard that faces to the west. That's where you want your shade tree to be, on the hot summer sun. Give you some coolness there. Well, if you buy a maple tree and it's like, say, 8 or 10 feet tall and looks pretty good, but you say, well, gosh, that's not gonna, well, it'll grow. It'll grow 50, 60 feet in 10 years, maybe, or
good
12
heavens.
Years,
nice.
and as wide, so you'll have plenty of shade. So if you went out there and stuck three of them in 10 feet apart, it would be a real mess, and eventually you'd have to take some out because it'd be tangled and ugly. And
that would be expensive firewood.
Yeah, very expensive firewood, yes. Oh, gosh. But if you plant, you know, fewer plants, fewer trees, you're going to learn what their growth requirements are. And consequently, you can gauge. So in other words, don't go out there and buy a truckload. Just buy a few. Spot them around. Get them going. Learn what they need. Learn their soil, their water requirements. Learn, you know, how to amend your soil so you get, you know, maximize.
Get to know them.
Yeah. Maximize your growth and the health of the plant. And once you do that, and it might take a year, a whole growing season, say, hey, that was successful, that made it, so I think I'm going to add a few more. But now you've got some experience under your belt, and you're not going to just, you know, because you get a small plant can cost you $10, easy.
Oh.
So you buy 20 of them, there's $200 right out the door. And if you plant them incorrectly or too close together, it'd be better just to give me, the landscape consultant, the $200 and tell you what not to do.
Yeah.
It'd be cheaper in the long run. But one thing I have found over my 50 years as a landscape contractor and a nursery guy was I found that landscape professionals, like landscape architects, and this is not all of them, but a good many of them, they seem to design, they have a tendency to overplant, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, and because they want it to look good right off the bat. Well, that I understand their thought processes, but if they've never actually landscaped and put their hands in the dirt and built something from scratch and watched it grow, you really don't have the experience. You might have the head knowledge, but you don't have the real knowledge.
The down to earth.
Hey, that's good. Down to earth knowledge. You betcha. But, you know, and one of the reasons they overplant is because most of them are hired for commercial projects, like banks or hospitals or schools and sometimes homes and things like that. And many years ago, and I can't remember how many years ago it was, Kenneth Ford called me for an estimate on his new house up on Summit.
Well, are you moving up?
Oh, I was. This is probably 20 years ago, maybe.
Mm.
And,
nice.
So I got up there and I walked the property with Mr. Ford, and he's had a set of plans from a landscape architect in Portland, and I looked at those plans and I thought, whoa, this is way overdone. You know, as we're walking around, I'm looking at the raised planter boxes of, you know, nice bricks and tile and all that kind of stuff, and it was very, very nicely done, but it was way overplanted. Because they specify, you know, you put these so-and-sos on 3-foot centers all the way through that, and where a planter would have been great with 5 of these plants, they had 10 or maybe 15.
Good heavens.
Designed into that, you know.
Overpriced, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. And not all, and I'm not saying all landscape architects do this, but a lot of them have that tendency. So, as I'm walking around there and pointing these things out to Mr. Ford and saying, yeah, you got just, there's too many plants here. You could do, and his response was, I want you to just do it as per the plans. I paid a lot of money for that.
Ouch.
Yes, sir. So I did. And about 5 years later, he called me again and wanted some plants removed because they were too close.
Oh, no.
And too large. So I did. One thing I found out, you don't argue with Mr. Ford.
No.
Even if you're right. but you know, he was a nice guy, but he, you know, very, you know, pointed, and you know, this and this and this, and you know, he'd run the biggest mill and lumber company in the world, practically, at least on the West Coast.
He just didn't know how close they grew together.
Well, you know, he figured that the landscape architects knew their business; they were professionals, right? And so, consequently, he got one of trusted them exactly. But like I say, they have a tendency to overplant, especially with a guy like Mr. Ford and the beautiful new home. And they knew who he was and what he did.
Hey,
and blah,
there's
blah, blah.
Money here.
And they wanted to have it very impressive right off the bat.
Mm.
Well, it was impressive, but I knew it wouldn't stay impressive because those things grow.
Right.
You know, you got a 20-foot brick planter. It's, say, 3 feet wide, and you put 20 plants in there. A foot on center, and it looks good right now, and it might for next year and the year after, but after that, it's going to be a maintenance nightmare because you're going to always be pruning those dudes to keep them in place.
That's when you call Mike.
Yeah, it's when you call Mike, and Mike comes and fixes it. But so Remember that plants grow, so when choosing those plants, be sure to do some research on the ultimate size that they can grow to. You know, you can ask many questions, you can get books, and that kind of thing, but when you buy shrubs, ask questions about the size, the speed that those small plants will grow in, say, 3 to 5 years. The big mistake the customer make is to, like I say, buy too many plants and plant them too close to a house or too close to the street or a fence or a neighbor's property or whatever, and down the road a few years, they're either removing them or pruning them extremely hard, and that kind of takes away the look for a while. But these guys, they'll look good in a few years, and then all of a sudden they're crowded. They're blocking your driveway. Yeah. You can't open your car door because your plants are in the way or pushing your fence over.
That's when my dad would burn them.
Well, yeah. And that's what happens. It's they're going to grow, not because of us, in spite of us.
Right.
That's how
right.
they are. We got a break?
Yep.
Okay, I'll be back.
One more time.
673-4464. Please call if you have a question.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. From the hot weather to fires in Maui, we were speaking of.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Terrible.
Yes.
Terrible.
I don't know. They say that power lines, broken power lines or something like, caused the fire.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't know. And our federal government did not respond very quickly to the catastrophe. And there's a few people torqued out about that one.
But yet we send billions over. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Wrong show. We'll do that next hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben, I've been talking about overplanting and educating yourself on the types of plants that you want to have in your yard, the look you want to have in your yard. And if you have no clue, then you call somebody like me or some other landscaper or whatever that has a few years' experience in doing this stuff. And they can tell you these things. They can show you photos or whatever. And say, no, that's too close to your house, or that's too close to your driveway, or you don't need that many, and this is how big these things get. And that's all good information. You don't want to block your driveway so when you're trying to pull out your driveway, you can't see traffic coming either way because of the shrubs that you planted 3 years earlier and that kind
True.
Of stuff. Or knocking over your neighbor's fence because the shrubs just pushed it over.
Oh, that's okay. Just leave that.
No, I've seen that. Kyle had that at his place, and we had to do some extreme pruning on some of this stuff, and there's a couple of big shade trees in his backyard, and some of the limbs go halfway into the neighbor's yard. It's a big tree. It's maybe 70 feet tall, 60, 70 feet tall. Gives you good shade in the afternoon, about, you know, say 4 o'clock on. It shades the whole back of his house and his patio and stuff. And it's a great tree to have. I wouldn't have planted it. So I don't think Kyle planted it. I think it was there when he moved in. Mm. But, you know, whoever planted it should have planted more toward the middle of the yard, and it would be more manageable. And give you more shade more quickly as well. So, you know, those are the kind of things you got to think about. You got to ask the questions on how big, how fast will this grow? How do I water it? How do I fertilize it? How do I prune it? Those are all real questions that you have to have so that you can get your best results out of whatever you purchase. So
I wonder if his neighbor has said anything.
No, not so far. I don't think. But the thing is, do your homework prior to buying. You know, you'll save a ton of money and time in the long run. It's just that simple. And like I say, it's important to look through the neighborhood, see what's growing in your own street. Take note of the overgrown yards. Why are they overgrown? I mean, with the information I'm giving you here today, you can spot this right off the bat. And you go, whoa, look at that. That guy planted too many too close. Oh, okay. Then that's what they look like. They look like, But
all tangled in love.
Yeah. But, you know, I've over the years, I've done, you know, many projects on overgrown yards. You know, people call and say, hey, my yard looks like a jungle, and, you know, we landscaped it 10 years ago, and now I can't get in this or can't do that, or the tree's grown over the roof. And so we'd go in there and prune everything back, and I'd tell them before we started, now, this is going to look like the atom bomb hit here, but it's good for the plant, and it'll give you the room that you need. And if you follow my example, in subsequent years, you can keep them that way. Yeah. With minor pruning, because when we prune majorly. I mean, we don't mess around. We don't just nip here and nip here. We go through it and take maybe 50% of the plant off. Mm. So you can actually see the stems, and you can actually see in between. And they, I mean, 99% of those plants, they come back. They're, within a month, they've got new leaves. They're looking good and that kind of thing. Mm. But once they do re-leaf out, that's when you prune lightly from there on. Or maybe if they're too close, you take every other one out in the winter and plant them somewhere else in your yard. And you can do that, and you don't need to buy any more plants, you know. But the neighborhood and the neighbors, you know, there's always one or two people on the street that have just this really super looking yard. You know, it looks good. Oh, it always looks good. Yeah. They're always out there doing something, mowing, pruning, fertilizing. And go down and introduce yourself and say, hey, what can I ask you some questions about your yard? And
How much do you charge?
Yeah, right. and they'll give you the grand tour. They'll just do it, and they'll show you this. And I planted it 4 years ago, and I planted this one 20 years ago, and this is this and this. And they can give you a whole lot of information, and you're more likely to believe your neighbor than the guy at the box store selling you the plants, who may not even know what the plants are called. But you know, it's you gotta. And when I'm called, you know, it's usually the last result. They're the overgrown yard, and you got to remove large shrubs, or you prune them drastically, and I mean drastically. But I always advise the clients. This is. You're going to question my methods, but guess what? In a year, you're going to thank me for what I'm doing. And there was one client I had. I landscaped their yard, I'll bet, 30 plus years ago. A doctor that lives out towards the River Forks. And, you know, a beautiful yard right on the North Umpqua and that kind of stuff. And she liked Japanese maples, Japanese lace leaf maples, the shorter purple colored leafed ones. And she wanted some going up to the doorway. So there was a planter or a planting space on one side of her sidewalk. And I think I planted three of them. And maybe four, but I'm odd, so it was an odd number. And I don't think it was five, but I think there was three of them. And then about, you know, gosh, 15 years went by. He called me up, Mike, my Japanese maples, they're taking over the sidewalk. And I don't know. I said, have you been pruning them, Sharon? No. Well, I'll come out and take a look. And she hadn't pruned them. And though they were gorgeous, except they were halfway into the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
And I told her what we'd have to do and what they would look like. What, you know, and with a Japanese maple, you just don't whack it. You've got to, because it's a beautiful tree. You don't want to just, you know, cut it off and say, yeah, it'll grow. So you're thinning the branches. You're removing some of the branches because you want to keep the branching on the Japanese maples, lace leaf maples, they kind of twist and turn and they're gnarly and they're really cool looking. And so you got to eliminate some of the smaller stuff so you can see the gnarly branches and open it up so that you can enjoy the entire tree and you don't take every leaf off it or anything like that. But she was pleased. Her husband was pleased. And she called me back the next year. She'd come out and look at the trees that I pruned. Is something wrong? She says, no, they're beautiful. Come out and take a look. So in my travels that day, I stopped by. And they were gorgeous. But they were still a little too close to the sidewalk. And I told her, you saw what we did. You saw how much we pruned. Can you handle it from here? She says, yep, got it. Because I went through the process with her step by step and gave her the reasons of why we pruned these branches and just thinned these branches and took some of the top part out and took some of the bottom out so that you could actually see the branching patterns, or the twisty, gnarly limbs and stuff, because they're very exotic in that respect. And she's never called me back again, so apparently she's doing it.
She's doing it.
She's getting her done. But, you know, that's good. But always do your homework, like I say, and I repeat myself on all I know, but unless somebody gets it the first three times, they don't get it. But do your homework prior to buying, and you're going to save money and time, like I say, in the long run. And, again, the neighbor thing, it's a good thing. You can quiz them, and they can show off their place, especially if it's well taken care of and they do the maintenance themselves. They're proud of what they've done. It looks good, and it's something that they love to share with you. Yeah, this is what we do. This is how we do it. This is how we prune. This is how much we fertilize. This is how much we water. And you know, they're obviously in good shape. The plant materials are in good shape. They're looking good. They're growing well. So you know the person is telling the truth,
right?
And say,
yeah,
that's what I want in my yard. How in the world do I get that? You know, what do I do? You get the techniques down, and you get the plant maintenance down, and you're home free. You got a beautiful yard. It's that easy. And once you get it to that stage, mm-hmm. it's a whole lot easier to keep it there because you don't let it go 3 years and get all gnarled up again. You know, it's like, hey, oh, no.
And it doesn't take as long.
Right. And nowadays there are many books available with photos on pruning and landscape maintenance. In case your neighbors are not friendly with you, you can go get a book and look at it. You started reaching for something.
Oh, no, I'm just stretching.
Oh, okay. I thought you were reaching for the commercial dial. But after 50 years of being a landscape contractor and a nursery owner, you know, I still learn about new plants, how they grow, how they should be pruned, how they should be fertilized, so that when somebody calls me, because I do consultations only now, and some, I draw some plans, but I don't do the landscape work anymore. The new owner of the nursery does that. And if a client wants a bid, I can give them a bid, and then I turn it over to Wintergreen and let them do the job if they can. But it's good to learn what things do. It's good to know what the kind of growth, what kind of flowers, what rate of growth, all those kinds of things. And if you're doing, like I say, if you're doing your own landscaping, my first suggestion, again, is to start small. Don't try to fill your yard up all at once. I mean, you'll be tearing your hair out in a few years. Plant a few shrubs, leave plenty of space for growth, and as time goes by and you learn their growth habit, you can add more where the space is available. It's that simple. Don't get in a position where you're removing plants because of the size and the yard work is a real chore for you to keep it looking good. So you got your hand on the trigger.
Now we'll take a break.
Oh, we're going to have a break. Okay, well, I'll be back. 673-4464 if you have a question.
All righty. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back with our final segment of the day already. Can you believe that, Mike?
Yeah, I do. Time goes fast here. If you have a question, 673-4464, and we can answer it. So, when you select trees, you have to have that same attitude that I've been talking about not planting too many too close together. Shade is great, but too many trees too close together can turn into a nightmare.
We got a phone call.
We got a phone call.
We got a phone call. Hey there, you.
Hi, this is Blair Bailey calling. Is this Mike?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Mike. Hey, just had a question. We've got bluegrass taking over our yard. How do you get rid of it in our lawn?
Why do you want to get rid of it? Isn't it doing well or what?
God, it's weeding out the real grass. It's just this little fuzzy stuff coming up. It's pretty ugly.
Is it? Well, about the, how large is the lawn?
Oh, 75 by 100.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was going to say you can try to spot spray it, but it sounds like that would be an impossible thing to do. But you could spray the whole thing, kill it, and then just reseed it with the grass you want.
Okay. That's not the only way. There's no spray specifically made for it, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Not sure if that was his radio in the background or not, but
well, might have been.
He didn't seem to have any difficulty hearing us, no. So that's good.
Well, you know, and I said earlier, nowadays there's a lot of books available, a lot of photos on how to prune, how to plant, how to do landscape maintenance, how to do this and this and this. So don't hesitate to buy something like that. Sit down. There's a lot of pictures. There's words in them too, but there's pictures, and pictures are worth 1,000 words, right? Before, after. Ah,
there you go.
Now I see what they're talking about.
There's Google too.
Oh, Google. Yeah, I'll Google Moogle. But you want to select and plant trees with the same attitude, not overdoing it, not overcrowding.
Yeah.
Like I said, shade is great, but too many trees too close together can turn into a nightmare before you know it. And one fast-growing maple, like I say, in an average-size yard can be enough. If you plant too many and need to remove a large shade tree, the cost can be several $1,000s because it's just a lot of equipment, and they grow fast, say, and it's up there 30 or 40 feet, and it's only 10 feet from the other one that you planted. Give it some space when you plant them. And, you know, you can have all kinds of damage, limbs over the roof, big branches falling down, breaking things, all that kind of stuff. Your roof in a windstorm or a snowstorm is fair game for those big branches. I know I've had one come down, and it was a long way from my house.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I had a whole tree come down.
Well.
And it was way up. It was pretty far up the hill. I looked at it for years, and well, it's okay. It's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, it woke us up at 5 in the morning. Full of snow.
Did you think the Russians were coming?
I knew they were. I knew they were in the yard already. But think long term when you're selecting yard trees. They're going to grow. Again, do your homework. Look them up. Look them up on your internet thing. See how much they grow. See how much they grow 2 feet a year. They grow 4 feet a year. Or they grow a foot a year. You know, let that be your gauge. In other words, you know. How fast and large does this tree grow? How many do I want? How far away from the house should I put this tree, and or from my neighbor or something like that, or from a fence? And if it's shade you want it, plant it on the west side or the south side of your house for maximum effect, because that's what you want to do. You want to cool off your yard, and a cool yard is going to help you on your conditioning, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. Think of future liability if planted too close to a neighbor's yard and damage occurs due to, you know, age or weather conditions.
We'll see him on Judge Judy.
Yeah, he'll be on Judge Judy's show because you're going to be liable for the house next door. There's some common sense and some expertise that's needed here, so be aware of that. And I've seen this scenario multiple times over the years where snow or wind knocks a tree down or a major limb falls next door and crashes into the neighbor's house and causes major damage. And the tree owner, the guy that owned that tree, picks up the tab for the cleanup and the repair. And, you know, I guess insurance can cover it, or I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But that's the point. And the last point that I want to make today is if you hire a landscaper to do your yard, ask questions like, how long you been in business? Can you show me some examples of your projects? And the best one is, are you licensed, bonded, and insured? You know, and if there ain't, if they ain't, you might consider trying to get someone else to do work in your yard, because a real landscape contractor is licensed, bonded, and insured. In case something goes haywire, his insurance will fix it, and his bond will cover him and cover you as well. So hopefully you learned something today. Stay cool, get off the pavement, get in the shade, and everything is good. So thank you for listening.
All right, we still have about 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
Yep.
18, 17, 16. Thank you for listening. It's good to talk. I you know, questions really help. If you have some questions for next week, write them down, store them up. I'd be glad to answer them for you, because sometimes I run out of things to say.
Do you know what the topic is next week yet?
Yeah, it's called Swans in Paradise.
Black swans.
Yeah, black swans in paradise. Go to Wildlife Safari.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Stay tuned for the afternoon report coming up next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.